This podcast is sponsored by ValleyGivesBack.org. What will you be remembered for? Name a Valley nonprofit in your estate plan and create a legacy that tells future generations what mattered to you. Making a gift that costs nothing during your lifetime is easy and revocable if things change. With a planned gift, you have the power to impact the Valley forever without affecting your current lifestyle. Your action inspires others to make a difference in their own way. Remember the Valley. Ask your accountant, financial planner, or attorney about planned giving options. Plan now. Give later. Impact tomorrow. Learn more at valleygivesback.org.
For hundreds of years, we brought you the news. For the info, we gave you the clues. Owners' profits were always sky high. Changing market now threatens our lives. Post-literation, critical reading, dumbed down nation, signs of inbreeding. TV sucking ideas from our head. Public discourse.
Let's go.
Just about dead.
You ready?
Come on out.
Hey, everybody, welcome to Navel Gazing, the Valley Indies weekly podcast. Today, we're going to be talking about Seymour Charter Revision. Voters in Seymour go to the polls November 6th for a number of matters.
Yes. That's technically, the whole state goes to the polls.
None of that matters. 6th. We're just talking about Seymour.
Just Seymour.
Only Seymour exists for the purpose of this discussion.
Well, that's a great discussion that we're about to have.
And that is Seymour First Selectman Kurt Miller making a long-awaited return appearance to the podcast.
I'm excited to be back.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. So, Seymour Charter Revision. For anybody who doesn't know, a charter is basically your town's constitution. It's your blueprint for how the government works. It tells you, Kurt Miller, what your powers and responsibilities are as First Selectman and what the Board of Selectmen does and all the various agencies and commissions in town, how to operate.
That was a very exciting way to describe that. That was excellent.
I love charter revision.
Yes.
There's nothing I want to talk about more than the various charters in the towns we cover.
And they are very exciting.
They are. That's a phone. Of course, Ethan Fry has walked out of the room, so we'll have to edit this out in a second. Oh. That's going to be really annoying. Hold on. Let's talk about the specific changes that are being recommended that voters will vote yay or nay on November 6th. And I assume a lot of people don't know this is happening. I mean, there's a bunch of state races. It's a very busy election year in general. So we don't want this to fall by the wayside. And I should mention, we tried to get the chairman of the Charter Revision Commission on here.
Pat Lombardi. Everybody knows Pat.
Okay. Yes. I was unsuccessful. Pat, it's EugeneDriscoll@gmail.com. If you have a couple of emails from me, just check your spam box there.
Pat's a moving target. He's got a lot on his plate. So
yeah, and so yeah, thank you for your service. I have here. I'm looking at meeting minutes from the Charter Revision Draft Report from back in August, which was then sent to the Board of Selectmen for review. And the Board of Selectmen, I guess, has final say over what goes to voters on November 6th.
Yes. Yes.
So the first thing I see on here is. Actually, I'm reading it wrong. Maximum number of members on boards set at 5.
Yeah, one of the things that we had talked about was the concern of finding people to serve on boards. And because some of these boards are so big and we have so many boards that what we were doing is we were recycling people and they're on multiple boards. So
burning people out, right. I'd assume. So you have big vacancies on these boards.
We do a lot of them that we do, or what we're doing is we're filling them with people that are on 3, 4, 5 different boards. And they're starting to get tired. Mm. So what we had talked about is if we can lessen the number of people that each board required, we can spread out the people that want to serve. And then people can now go specifically to a board they have interest in, whether it's finance or land use or something like that. And then we can just have, I think, better conversations, better interaction
on
these boards.
And it says the commission has reduced the membership of the Board of Library Directors to 5. All other elected and appointed boards and commissions remain the same. Is that how it ended up?
Just appointed boards and commissions. There's going to be an advisory question on the library.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, to see if that's something that people want to have. What we tried to do, and I know we're going to bounce around a little bit, but you know, the first thing we did was the selectmen, myself, made some recommendations to the Charter Revision Commission.
At the beginning of the process, a year ago.
About a year ago, yep. Okay. And they spent the time kind of evaluating each of the recommendations we made, plus anything that else they wanted to talk about. They had several public hearings to give people the opportunity to weigh in. And then what you're seeing now is kind of the what it was all whittled down to.
They've distilled it to these. Yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And with the questions, which we'll see on the back side of their people's ballots in Seymour, so I want to remind people to flip your ballot over, we're going to see a list of questions. So there's going to be advisory questions. Those are ones that would be binding. So if enough people vote yes, then those go into effect. And then there's also going to be two non-binding advisory questions that we just want to get the opinion of the residents of the town of Seymour.
You want to talk about the non-binding questions? The ones that you're, and this is to gauge people's a barometer reading, essentially? Is that?
Yeah, because we want to see just kind of what they think. The questions that we're going to talk about for that, number one, shall the Board of Selectmen undertake a study regarding the establishment of a town manager form of government? So for a town manager form of government, that's essentially hiring a professional to run the operation. The first selectman's position become more ceremonial, ribbon cuttings, running the board meetings, things like that. But day-to-day operations would be done by the town manager. That person would have a contract, would report directly into the Board of Selectmen. A lot of smaller towns are switching to that. Mm-hmm. That's something that I think may be of value down the road. We had it on the charter 4 or 5 years ago when we did it the last time. People did not vote for it, so we wanted to bring it back to see if it was something they might have interest in this time.
And that's non-binding. Even if people say, yeah, we want a town manager, it's not going to happen because this is just a non-binding
question.
Correct,
just to take people's opinion. Okay. Now, if it's overwhelmingly no, then nothing will happen. If it's yes, then what we'll do is we'll spend the next 4 or 5 years studying it, and when we do the next charter revision, that will be put on as a binding question.
Okay, gotcha.
Okay, and then the second one, shall the town charter be amended to set term limits for all elected boards? There is, in one of the binding questions, we talk about term limits, and we can circle back to that. But it just has to do with the Board of Selectmen, no other boards. So we had the conversation, does it make sense? Should that also include the Board of Finance, Board of Education, Police Commissioner, so on and so forth? We didn't want to make a decision without hearing from the people first.
I mean, so, term limits on the local level, if you can't get people to fill your boards, how are you going to have term limits? You already have trouble getting people to volunteer their time to be on these boards. That seems counterproductive.
I think people get intimidated. They don't want to run because they know they may not have a chance to win.
They got
to
go against somebody.
Right, and I think by forcing there to be openings, people will say, well, maybe I'm not going to run this year, but I know next year so-and-so can no longer be on the board. So I'm going to throw my hat in a ring at that point. So let's try to encourage new people coming in, new ideas, new opinions, things like that.
So those are the two non-binding
questions. Those are the two non-binding questions.
And then sticking with the term limits for a second here, yep. I see that second on the list of the draft that I'm reading here.
Yes.
It says discuss term limits. The Charter Revision Commission decided term limits added in Section 6.1. That refers to the Board of Selectmen. So what would be, how many years could you serve on the Board of Selectmen? Is this just to get the Bohuniak off? Is this some kind of Republican plan?
Yeah, this
plan?
Is an end around to get rid of the Bohuniak. He's not even aware we're doing it. He voted for it.
We had him in months ago, and he supported.
We agreed on this.
Yeah, I remember this. Yeah, the questions.
Yeah, we do agree on this.
So what? Yeah, sorry, I'm making a bad joke.
We actually agree on a lot of things, but yeah, this is something that we both agreed on. So what the recommendation is, it's starting in 2019. The first selectman will switch to a 4-year term.
Oh.
This is what people will be voting on. The regular board members will stay a 2-year term. The first selectman will have a 3-term limit. So the first selectman will not be able to serve more than 12 years. So that's kind of where we're starting, and then we'll go from there based on what people say. But everybody starts in 2019 at zero.
Okay.
So
that's interesting. So a major change to Seymour government, because we're talking about the structure of Seymour government here, and that's what the charter is. So a major structural change would be to increase the term of the first selectman from 2 to 4 years.
Correct.
And I don't know if you're speaking for yourself or on behalf of the people on the Charter Revision Commission. Why is that a good thing or not?
Well, for a new first selectman, it's very difficult in your first year because it takes you some time to kind of understand the job, figure out what's going on, and before you know it, you're running for re-election. So can you truly be effective in your first term? And I would argue that you can't be. It's very hard to. By giving someone the opportunity of a four-year term, I think it gives them the ability to start some initiatives and see them through to conclusion, and then give people the opportunity to vote on you again.
And the most you could do is three terms. The
most you'll be able to do going forward is three terms.
Starting in 2019, if voters approve this.
Correct, because now I'm in my fourth term now, and their original draft had every member of the Board of Selectmen can only do three terms or 12 years. And I said, you know, you're limiting out everyone that's on this board. So the vast majority of the board would go, except I believe for Trish. I think Trish might be the only one, and then Bob Finley.
Who just got appointed replace Len Green, who moved to Bethel.
Yeah, Karen. Or I think Stefan would have one more two-year term, and then he'd be done. So we talked about that. And so that's why we decided to start in 2019 with a clean slate. So I could theoretically run for first selectman three more times with four-year terms. And then at the end of that third term, I would be done.
And then Board of Selectmen would be every 2 years still, and they would not have a term limit. The term limit currently, would just be...
Currently, no term limit for the Board of Selectmen.
Okay.
Just for the first selectman.
Just for the first selectman.
Because, again, one of their initial things was 14 total years. So let's say you were like the Bohuniak, and you were on the board for
it's
three
Stefan
terms.
Bohuniak, we should say. We're talking
Stefan,
about...
Yes. Yeah. But he's lovingly known as the Bohuniak.
His Twitter handle is the Bohuniak.
You know, if he did his, he's done, I believe, three terms now. He's in his third term, if I'm not mistaken.
Wow.
Maybe it's his second. I'm not sure. But let's say he decided to run for first selectman in this new system. You would have to count the number of years that he was all just a regular member of the Board of Selectmen. So it would actually limit the amount of time he could be first selectman.
Whoa!
Using him in this example, so you know, we didn't think that was that was fair. The board said, you know, right now let's just keep it at the first selectman's position. There has been some discussion. I think the next time you might see term limits overall, but it's two very different things: being the first selectman versus being a member of the Board of Selectmen. I don't think there should be a combining of term limits. I think there should be term limits, but I don't think you should be combining them. To be honest.
Hey, this is Eugene, most likely interrupting myself, to bring you a word from our sponsor, ValleyGivesBack.org. What will you be remembered for? Name a Valley nonprofit in your estate plan and create a legacy that tells future generations what matter to you. Making a gift that costs nothing during your lifetime is easy and revocable if things change. With a planned gift, you have the power to impact the Valley forever without affecting your current lifestyle. Your action inspires others to make a difference in their own way. Remember the Valley. Ask your accountant, financial planner, or attorney about planned giving options. Plan now. Give later. Impact tomorrow. Learn more at valleygivesback.org. Okay, and I'm skipping down a bunch of recommendations I won't mention because they were discussed but not recommended. Here's one that we can touch upon quickly. Increase special town meeting limit from $50,000 to $100,000. Is that when you put something out to bid, you have to have a town meeting if it's over $50,000 currently?
Yes, if it's not in the budget and we decide that we want to purchase something and we follow the whatever the process is required for that purchase, if it's over $50,000, it has to go to town meeting.
Which no one
one ever comes to. And, you know, if you think about $50,000, when it was put in, $50,000, I'm not saying $50,000 isn't a lot of money, but when they first put it in, $50,000 was a real lot of money. Now $50,000 may be, a small pickup truck for public works.
Right. So you constantly have to do these town meetings. And it's, so this we're is talking about more, efficiency of government here.
Right. This is more just bringing that number in line with the times, per se. I think the bigger thing that we're changing in with regards to the budget process is we're eliminating the annual town meeting for the budget. Now, in the past, the Board of Finance would finish the budget. It would get sent to the Board of Selectmen. The Board of Selectmen would do nothing but send it on to town meeting. No one has showed up for a town meeting, and I can't remember how long. It would come back to the selectmen, and then they were forwarded to referendum to be voted on.
It's just sort of strange. It's an attempt to get the right. public into the discussion, but...
Yeah, because in the old days, before we had the referendum vote, people would actually vote at the annual town meeting right there on the spot on the budget. So what we're doing essentially is taking that annual town meeting out. It will go from the Board of Finance to the Board of Selectmen. The Board of Selectmen will either accept it or decline it, and then send it on to referendum. And if the Board of
Finance still had, are there still like public hearings in front of the Board of Finance and the town?
Yep, there'll still be all of those. Yeah, people will still have the ability to voice their opinion. And when it's when the selectmen take action, there's public comment. So people will be able to come to the selectmen meeting as well if they want and voice any concerns that they have.
Okay. And that's that must be this next one. It says discuss quorum for town meeting. Agreed. Is that to?
Yeah, well, we kept the quorum at 50.
Okay.
You know, because we had talked about potentially lowering that number, but we kept it at 50.
Yeah. Then removal of positions of captain and lieutenant from the police department.
Yeah, the
there are no lieutenants at the moment.
There are no captain or lieutenant.
And that was from a reshuffle a couple of years ago.
Yes,
there was a commander and
The captain and lieutenant used to be number two and number three in charge, and for some reason those positions were put into the charter because they wanted to define, some of the requirements to get the position. But we've changed structures in the police department, so we took those out of the charter because they don't exist anymore. Okay. So it was more of a housekeeping
that's cleaning
type
up.
Thing. Right.
Okay, gotcha. Right. And then maybe this is the last one. Elimination of requirement for publication of full text of ordinances.
Yes.
What does that mean?
The charter would require us, if we put a new ordinance in, that we would have to go to the newspaper and publish the full ordinance.
Mm-hmm.
Some of these ordinances are pages long. So we'd spend several thousand dollars publishing an ordinance in the newspaper that no one would really look at. So we changed it now so we don't have to put the full notice in the newspaper. We have to notify people that we're doing it and give some information.
You'll still be advertising in the newspaper.
Yes, but the full text will be available at town hall on the website, town clerks, senior center, library, places like that.
So that's to save money because I know the publication of legal notices can, what does that run you in Seymour, like 30 grand a year or something like that?
Yeah, off the top of my head, I don't remember what it is, but it's close to that, yeah. And if, if we're going to be changing ordinances and we're starting to look at more and more ordinances, it gets extremely expensive. And you don't want, you don't want to not change an ordinance, which will benefit the town because of the need to save money.
Okay. And then we've just run through all the questions.
Yes. Now, on our website, if you go to the front page, there is a section where all the information will be provided right there. So it'll talk about the charter questions. It will talk about, it'll show a redline version of the charter so you can see all the actual changes. You'll see the recommendations from the Charter Revision Commission to the Board of Selectmen. So all the information will be there. So if people are interested, want to take time and read through, they can certainly go ahead and do that. We did miss one kind of big question that will be on, and that is the merging of the two budgets.
Oh, okay.
Now, as everyone knows in Seymour, you vote separately on the municipal budget, and you vote separately on the Board of Education budget.
One can go down and the other can pass.
Correct. This charter puts in there that there is one budget vote, yes or no, and that vote includes both the town budget and the Board of Education budget.
What are the advantages or disadvantages of doing that?
I think...
Doesn't it increase the likelihood? I mean, traditionally in Seymour, although it's been changing, the school budget gets voted down and the town budget gets approved.
Yeah.
Doesn't that increase the chances now of it all just
It definitely does. So, but what we've seen in the last 3 years is that both budgets have passed on the first try. I think that's because we've provided to the residents a lot more transparency than what they've had in the past, and they understand our plans and our directions as to where we're going. So I think now is the time to look at that. It could potentially affect the municipal side of the budget, because if there are people that are angry that the Board of Ed is spending too much money, and that there still are those people, they will vote no, and yes, that will impact the municipal side. But if we run a good budget process like we have over the last couple of years and that continues, I don't foresee it being a problem.
Why change it at all then if it's...
We have an us versus them mentality, and we've been breaking that wall down, us being the municipal side, them being the Board of Education. I don't think that's a mentality we should have. It's one town. It should be one budget. We should be looking at ways to bring these two budgets together. We've combined operations. We've combined IT. We're looking at finance. We're looking at HR. We're looking at bringing these operations together. They shouldn't be built into each budget. We should have one finance department for the town of Seymour. We should have one HR department, one IT department. We need to get the Board of Education back to, you know, teachers, books, and schools. You know, the Board of Education grew substantially faster than the municipal side did over the last 20 years. And we've been changing that, slowly working together. And I think the only way that we continue to work together and be efficient and effective for the residents is by bringing these budgets together. I mean, that's my personal opinion. People out there may disagree with that and like keeping it separate, and that's fine. But I think now is the time we should at least take a look at it. That the questions have been separated into specifics. So that way people say, yes, I like everything else, but I don't want the two budgets put together. They can vote no on that question and vote yes for everything else. So we try to segment things so people can say what they like and say what they don't like.
Okay. Well, that's it. That's the Seymour 2018 Charter Revision Commission discussion.
That's right. And don't forget, go to the website. All the information is there. I'm sure the Valley Indy will put a link up when they play this podcast out.
Well, and we'll try to embed all the sample ballots. And we're recording this on October 10th to hold this a little bit to publish it right before the election. But hopefully by the time this is published, we'll have all that information in our story and links to the wonderful town of Seymour website.
For hundreds of years, we've brought you the news. For the info, we gave you the clues. Owners' profits were always sky high. Changing market now threatens our lives. Post-literation, critical reading, dumbed down.